connect to Matt Quinn direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There was a great analysis in the New York Times the other day about Trump's words, his words in his speech just before the insurrection that drove the insurrection. Remember where he got up and he said, "You'll never win by being weak. March on the Capitol. I will go with you." Those were his words. Well, there is a site called Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, where some of the extreme right has migrated ever since Trump was thrown off Twitter. And the New York Times did an analysis of the words that were used on Parler before 12:15 p.m. on January 6th and after 12:16 p.m. January 6th. And why did they do that? Why'd they pick that out? Because Trump's speech was over the noon hour, and it was at 12:15 that he started the call for violence, where he said, "You're never going to win by being weak. Go on, let's march on the Capitol, and I will go with you." That segment was in that minute, okay, between 12:15 and 12:16. Prior to 12:15, words like civil war, time to fight, let's take the Capitol, violent words, there were something like 40 of them within a set time period. Immediately after 12:16, right in the middle of Trump's speech, people were still communicating on Parler. There were 156 of them, almost four times. Words like, it's time to fight, to take the Capitol. The Civil War has started. Violent talk went up four times from before 12:15 to after 12:16, clearly inspired by Trump. That's going to be very difficult for the in the impeachment phase, the trial, the conviction, defense. It's going to be very, very difficult for Trump's people, David Shane, to say, well, what he said didn't make any difference at all. It's just First Amendment. You've heard that under First Amendment law, you have a right to say whatever you want within reason. But you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, right? You yell fire, everybody stampedes out, some are killed. That's not freedom of speech unless there is a fire and you're doing it to warn people. If you say, I think the president of the United States should be shot, and I do not say that, I've never said it for any president, and it should never be said, that's a felony. Just saying that is a felony. And they will arrest you, and they should arrest you. And when high-level people say it, like Donald Trump or Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're afraid to arrest them, but they should. They should arrest both of them right now, but certainly Marjorie Taylor Greene, for saying that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton should be hanged, Nancy Pelosi should be shot. They should arrest her. But anyway, there are other things that you can't say. And if you say, let's storm the Capitol and take it, and the Congress is in session and it results in violence, that is not an exercise of your First Amendment rights. What you can say under the First Amendment, anything you really want, is those congressmen are terrible, they're corrupt, they're a bunch of crooks, let's get them out of there, let's go back to our home states, put up better candidates, all that kind of stuff. Absolutely right. That's what politics is all about. But when it changes to violence, that is what you cannot do. That is what Trump did. Giuliani said it's trial by combat. Trial by combat was eliminated in Europe back in the 13th century. And back then, the papacy, the Vatican, had a lot of power in Europe, and they were the ones that reformed it. They said, no, we're not having trial by combat anymore. It's a primitive pagan thing. Did a lot of good. So that's been gone for something like 800 years, guys. So Giuliani better read a little history. And then Don Trump Jr., whom people, believe it or not, are touting to run for president in 2024. I mean, this guy is a piece of work. He had some more violent language, but it's captured on Parler. Go back and look at it. You can Google the New York Times article. The words said before 12:15 and the words said after 12:16. In that 1 minute of that speech urging violence, he lathered up that crowd. He absolutely lathered up that crowd. I want to talk briefly about the COVID relief package, the $1.9 trillion that Biden has proposed, that Democrats have proposed, and the Republicans are trying to push back on. And is there any part of it, of the 1.9 million package, that the White House has signaled they might be opening to changing or narrowing? And there's one thing, and I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you what it is, and it's one that even progressives will debate whether it should be done. And here's what it is. Under the present package, the $2,000 checks, now remember, $600 went out, so there's $1,400 checks remaining. They will go out to everybody making less than $75,000 a year or $150,000 for a couple, married couple. The Republicans are proposing lowering that, giving it to people who make less than $50,000 a year or $100,000 for a couple. Now, when I first saw that, I thought, you know, somebody making, a couple making $150,000 doesn't need another $1,400. And it's a lot of money. It could be used for other things a lot better. And it seemed reasonable. And it's something the White House is considering. But here's the concern I have. You may not know this, but the tax returns they're looking at, and they have them all on file, are from 2019. And so somebody made $75,000 or $150,000 in 2019. That's before the pandemic. A lot of them lost their jobs, so they had zero income in 2020. So you can say, well, why don't we check those returns? They're not due till April 15. And in most cases, they're going to get an extension. The last good data we have is from 2019. Okay, so you may say, well, why don't we have them put in affidavits and we can talk about it? There isn't time to do that. To do that for 340 million people, or, you know, it's probably about 250 million of them are adults. You don't have time to do that. The question that's before us is, when you're going on 2019 data, which is pre-pandemic, and a lot of people lost their jobs, if you give it to people who made 75 grand a year in 2019, a lot of them made nothing in 2020 and they need it. They absolutely need it. But some of them didn't lose their jobs and they're going to get a windfall. So are we willing to eat that? And what Biden is saying, well, what the Republicans say is lower it to 50. Biden is saying, I'm going to look at that. That's the one thing he's going to look at. If he does that, somebody making $55,000 in 2019 isn't going to get it. And if he lost his job, he's out of luck. So do you tolerate the slight windfall for some folks who made 75 grand a year in 2019 and didn't lose their jobs? Many of them did. Or do you try to ratchet it down to the 50 and make sure that nobody that made over that in 2019 gets it, whether or not they lost their jobs? That's really what it's coming down to. That's really what it's coming down to. There are a lot of other nuances to this. This is not a done deal. Biden wants bipartisan support. He met with a number of Republicans, and they were, you know, Mitt Romney and Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and a couple of others too, because a lot of them are from states where people are hurting. Up in Alaska, they don't have a ton of money. And in Maine, they don't have a ton of money. And frankly, in Utah, in the cities, they do, but outstate, they don't either. So a lot of these senators have a little skin in this game. But they're trying to look like they care about the deficit. They don't care about the deficit. Are you kidding me? After the tax relief bill, $1 trillion, 88% of it went to the 0.1%. I'm not in that. Who's in that? 0.1%? They said that was okay. They said that was okay. So I'm a little tired of them, but I do think that's an interesting issue, and that's the one that Biden and his economic team are looking at very closely. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. We have a lot more back after the break.